You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, 21st of May 2009 broadcast, part 2. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
You know, at that point when I watched that, I feel a visceral emotional reaction. I feel the tears welling in my eyes. I feel sick. I feel deeply disturbed in my soul. How do you react to this?
It saddens me, you know.
It really is hard to find words to talk about this.
I mean that us as this righteous West, this righteous force going into foreign lands, you know, that we as the Aussies have to be in Afghanistan to, you know, take care of these terrorists and you know, bring peace to the Afghan people and liberate them. When this sort of filth is happening to the people that we take from Afghanistan is so despicable and so disgusting, and that we should get out of there straight away. It is just, there's no words to describe it, honestly. It just, people, write to your congressman. Show this story. Send this story to all of your politicians.
And I think so.
You want answers.
I think so. This needs to be, okay, we've had the change of government. We've got the new saviour in charge. Hello, what's happened? What's going on? We'll play a couple more minutes of this and then we'll continue with other stories.
Force has received almost no scrutiny in the U.S. Congress or the U.S. media and operates at this moment.
How do you know about this?
Well, I discovered these teams because I've been covering the investigation being done by Judge Baltazar Garzon in Spain into the Bush torture system. What's interesting is that the most aggressive investigation at this point into the Bush war crimes is being done an ocean away in Madrid. And I came across a story of a prisoner named Omar Deg Hayes, and he is one of the four people that is cited directly in the Spanish investigation as having been tortured by the United States. He's originally Libyan, is a British resident, and is one of the subjects of Baltazar Garzon's investigation. Omar Deg Hayes was repeatedly abused by one of these squads. And so when I came across this reference to this team that he was referring to in his testimony, I started to look into it and realized that there has been a multi-year pattern of abuse on the part of this team. And yet the only time when it's really made any kind of a flash in the corporate media was when a U.S. soldier, a young guy named Sean Baker, who was a Gulf War vet, was participating in a training exercise in Guantanamo in January of 2003, where he was ordered, he says, by his superiors to dress up in an orange jumpsuit and play the part of a restive or combative detainee at Guantanamo. He was told that the team that was going to come in to handle him knew that he was a U.S. soldier, knew that it was a training drill, and he was given a word, a code word red, that when he said it, the beating was supposed to stop, or the subduing of him was supposed to stop. When he was in the cell, the team comes in, he describes them just mercilessly beating him, and he's yelling out red, and they continue to beat him, even after he then said, I'm a U.S. soldier, I'm a U.S. soldier. He describes how one of his fellow soldiers continued to beat him. That young man, Sean Baker, has permanent brain damage, suffers from multiple seizures, and had actually sued Rumsfeld and other officials because of his treatment. So you had a flash, a moment in time in 2005, where this case came to public light because of this lawsuit brought by a U.S. soldier. As Scott Horton, a military and constitutional law expert I talked to, said, you know, this is one U.S. soldier who received this kind of treatment. Imagine what happens to these detainees. And let's be clear here. You read the New York Times today and you realize that despite Obama's rhetoric about how he's going to reform the military tribunal system, we understand that it's all cosmetic changes. The fact is, torture continues at Guantanamo. The place is not shut down. Interestingly, Ari Fleischer, the former propaganda chief for the Bush administration, said the other day quite clearly that he doesn't believe Obama in any universe is going to be able to shut down Guantanamo in a year. So, Amy, as far as I can tell from this in-depth investigation, we see the status quo alive and well, and it's very, very damaging to the U.S. Constitution, international law, and the lives of these prisoners who remain in legal limbo.
Jeremy, this force known as the Immediate Reaction Force, the Emergency Reaction Force, IRF or ERF, are they being filmed when they go into these?
Well, according to, I've been reading the now declassified standard operating procedures for Guantanamo that were written by Major General Jeffrey Miller, the man who was who's believed to have started all of this in terms of the tactical level at Guantanamo, and then gitmoized Abu Ghraib and other U.S. prisons after he left Guantanamo. He went elsewhere and brought these torture tactics with him. In the standard operating procedures that General Miller issued in 2003, he said that all of the IRF teams, when they would go in to restrain a prisoner, that they had to videotape the operation, and that all of the members on a team immediately following an incident where they had to restrain a prisoner had to give sworn statements. Well, the fact is that we know that at least 500 hours of video were filmed. The ACLU tried a few years ago to get those videos, and they failed to do so. The government resisted it. But Brandon Neely, who is an Army specialist that was one of the first IRF teams, and I talk about his story in here, says that his experience with IRF teams is that either the video camera wouldn't have any tape in it, wouldn't be turned on, or it would be pointed in a direction that was nowhere near what was actually happening. And I went through hundreds of pages of incident reports where these military police officers, as part of the IRF teams, gave their sworn statements. They were so robotic in their uniformity. They all had the exact same phrases to describe operations that went off without a hitch. Detainees were never hurt. Procedures were followed. Case closed, end of the day, a few handwritten sentences, almost uniformly identical in each instance. So Michael Ratner of the Center for Constitutional Rights asked a very simple question. Where are the tapes?
Okay, it's about as much as I can take of this. Look, you know, it's just classic corruption, really, isn't it?
Folks, the important thing to think here is realize that You cannot see this sort of evidence and think, oh, well, it's not me. Oh, well, it's someone else. Because what happens is that this sort of police state, this sort of hardcore tyranny is only seeded there and will spread if it's allowed to. Because these sort of jackbooted, hardcore torturers have a thirst for this,
and they know that they're torturing. That's why they don't keep the video evidence. That's why they erase the tapes or point the cameras in the wrong direction. They know, just like the Nazis knew, you know, just like the Nazis
knew. There is no difference between the Nazis and what's happening here. Yeah, the Nazis killed millions and millions, whatever the number was. But right now, the torture side of it is exactly the same.
That soldier that he describes in there, the US soldier, has permanent brain damage and has seizures now from one beating.
And you know, you get other people like this Omar, I've forgotten his last name. You know, he had feces rubbed in his face from another detainee.
Charming.
Beating, yeah. Drowning, the tango block, whatever that is.
Blast them with high pressure water hoses. They would the ramming of the feeding tube down through their nose and into their stomach. Can you imagine what that would be like?
I mean, folks, this is really, it's so important that you become active and write to all of your representatives, all of them. And because we are, yeah, you may say, oh, look, this is American, but we are part of...
We are still prosecuting a war with the Americans that is involved in this whole operation.
Yeah. We are part of it. We are part of this sort of coalition that is part of the systemic torture.
Yeah, and as recently as a couple of weeks ago, 95 children were killed in US airstrikes. I've got a story here. Google it. Google this. 95 children killed in US airstrikes. Wednesday, May 13th, 2009. 95 Afghan children are among the 140 people said to have died in a recent US Taliban battle in western Afghanistan. Hello? I mean, you know that story was in the news for about one day and was then dropped and not repeated again. 95 yeah, I mean, children.
That story alone should have us pulled out of that country. That story alone should get people so outraged.
It's out of control. It's just totally out of control.
But no one says anything. No one gives a...
Yeah.
Anyway, we do. And all our listeners do. But it's important, listeners, to get more listeners to this show, more people seeing these stories. Go and get that video and post it on your Facebook. You know, start being a bit more outrageous. Because it's not outrageous to feel angry. It's not outrageous to feel shocked at this. It's outrageous not to.
It is. It is. It's an outrage to know about this and not do anything at all. Sorry, folks. You're not going to get off lightly on Truth News. We're going to make you squirm, okay? We want you to feel guilty. Seriously, look, we don't really want you to feel guilty. We just think that you need to, we all need to do more. Every one of us. We might be able to change some things around if we just do that, you know, bit extra. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's those that do nothing that really have a lot of the blame for tyranny's rise throughout history.
When good men do nothing, when good men sit back and do nothing, that is when tyranny thrives.
Or women.
Indeed. Yes. I was using the gender pronoun plural, the old-fashioned. It's time to move on to some local stories. And, you know, I do apologize for the relentlessly bleak themes that we're discussing. You know, it's just the way it is, folks. Okay. Someone has to tell these stories. Someone has to get this information out. We need to get on with some local material here. There's a story that I just want to cover because it's very relevant to Sydney. And I think you're familiar with this one, Josh. It's a story that came up mid last year about a solicitor who was involved in a police operation in a pub in inner Sydney, in Newtown. And the story is, what happened was, the lawyer was sitting there having his dinner, and the police came in with dogs, as they do in this wonderful, free-loving country we have. The police came in with their dogs and started sniffing everyone in the bar. And, I mean, you've experienced this yourself recently, haven't you, Josh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was in Newtown. I was at the pub having a good few drinks with some mates.
Yeah.
And this pub in Newtown is absolutely packed to the brim. I mean, literally shoulder to shoulder. It's got this sort of beer garden area, and it was literally so packed. You couldn't really – I mean, it wasn't really that good of a vibe because it was just too many people.
But yes.
What happens? In walks 6 to 7 policemen with a dog – through this crowded back section, march around, you know, and I just said, oh, God, you really have to? Like, sort of said that sort of to myself while this guy was walking past.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, shut up. I don't tell you what to do at your job.
Yeah, my job's tyranny, all right? Yeah.
Yeah, like you know, yeah. I really go to his job and sniff his crutch with a dog, you know.
My job's terrorizing people, okay? Leave me alone.
And these people, these cops basically sort of went around sniffing the crutch of everyone with these dogs. And then the dog sat down at this one guy And I just thought, oh God, you know, oh. And then they're sort of talking to him for ages, and then finally, after maybe 10, 15 minutes, they march him out. And I thought, oh well, it must have been a, you know, drug dealer, or the guy had some remnants of some little bit of
Yes.
grass or something
Yeah,
pathetic
yeah.
in his pocket. And you know, so everyone's looking at this guy. Everyone in the pub thinks, oh, fuck, guilty, guilty. What if, you know, whatever
Yeah.
they're thinking. And 10 minutes later, the guy walks back in, a free man. So obviously, it was total false. You know, this poor man's totally ridiculed in front of everyone, made to look like he's some guilty drug fiend, you know, who needs to be shackled and marched out. You know, when really they're nothing. And this happens on a routine basis. How dare? I mean, surely a private pub with a private place should have the right to, who have their own security guards, because pubs have their own security, to, you know, if they think someone's dodgy, get them out. But how dare we in Australia put up with cops going around with dogs sniffing people's crutches while they're trying to have a nice drink Friday night? I mean, it's obscene.
Well, how dare you interfere with police work, you know? And the thing is, Josh, you got off, from one point of view, you got off lightly, okay?
Oh yeah, read the
Because
story.
if you had done what Christian Bolwell did, you might have found yourself with a criminal record and a broken rib, okay? Because Christian Bolwell is a solicitor. He calmly walked over to the man who was being frisked and sniffed and offered him his business card. And you know what they did? They pushed him to the ground and then they stood on him, broke his rib. But that they didn't stop there. After that, they charged him with an offense.
Not us.
After abusing him, after attacking him, after assaulting him, they charged him with an offense.
Look, folks,
And
the
it took
police, they there are some good police, and in this sort of society, we probably, you know, it's good to have them. Don't get me wrong, but you cannot say that this is that police can just go around terrorizing people. They are their own gang, folks. If you think there's street gangs, there's also another gang who have legally got the power to kill and legally got the power just to stand on people's ribs and break them.
Look, Josh, I think here on Truth News, because this is so relevant to our local community, we need to make a special effort to publicise and to lead some kind of spearhead of criticism for these police practices. Because I don't see it. I mean, it was featured on the Law Report recently, which is great. You know, kudos to the ABC that they did that. But most likely the story is just going to vanish again. But we know that this is happening every week. We know the police are doing this all the time. They seem to really love Newtown for some reason. they just come there all the time. I mean, you were harassed in Newtown, weren't you?
Yeah, that was Newtown, that's
Yeah,
right.
they just seem to have their favorite places to harass people, folks, okay? So, but in doing so, the populace is being conditioned into accepting tyranny, accepting, I mean, for one thing, police shouldn't be allowed to enter a private, place like that where people are enjoying their freedom and their Friday night out after a hard week at work. And the fact that one person in that pub might have committed a crime doesn't. Okay, this is where the law and order argument comes up against the Magna Carta and basic, universal values of truth and freedom, going back 1,000 years, okay? The police, the government can't just go and arrest and search everyone in a neighborhood just because one person might have committed a crime. They cannot do that.
No,
The habeas corpus.
that's
You
right.
can't detain someone unless you have a reason for detaining that person. But
Yeah.
That principle, in this case of the police harassment, is being completely just, they're just riding roughshod over it. They're completely ignoring it. And in the case of what you described, they detained that man. They put him in cuffs.
Yeah.
Purely because the, you know, the dog got a little bit frisky, you know. And, you know, and I mean, the dog was obviously wrong in this case, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. It's a conditioning. You know, this along with full-body airport scanners, along with camera and surveillance stuff everywhere, along with, you know, fear on the televisions and fear everywhere about terrorism, along with, you know, people in Guantanamo Bay being, you know, having feces rubbed in their faces from other detainees. You know, this all culminates into a soup of people getting used to this sort of treatment to their fellow human beings, and also getting used to a police state and a control grid and a militarized control grid, with police just going through and sniffing anybody at any time that they want, because, you know, it's for the safety of everyone. So, you know, everyone's just having an enjoyable drink. Literally, where I was, it was really such a peaceful night. It was really peaceful. People were having the Friday night drinks. It was great. There was no shouting, no angry yobbos, nothing. And these cops just stormed in there, jackbooting around. And one of them, you know, really gave me a firm acknowledgement to shut up, basically, because I sort of talked back a little bit and said, I didn't talk back badly. I just sort of calmly said, look, why are you doing this?
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to speak up about this. Okay. Hello. I mean, I only first heard about this recently. Okay. Apparently it's been going on for quite some time. Okay. I don't know when it first started. It has to be stopped. Police entering, you know, public bars. I mean, if they can do that, well, they can go into a restaurant too, can't they? I mean, what is the difference between them doing that and going into a restaurant? Or
look, there's no difference, and this is the slow progression of tyranny. They will start doing that,
Why can't they go into your home then? If they can do that a bar is actually owned by it is actually a private residence, okay. Well, your home is a private residence. So if they can do that, then they can just walk into your home anytime with a dog too, correct?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, unless they went and rang up the owner of the pub and, you know, asked them permission to come in.
Oh, yeah, and then,
It's totally illegal. I don't see how it's legal.
That's right.
I guess because it's a public space and maybe they pay some license to be a public facility. Maybe it's different like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, technically it is private, and it is the owner of the facility that, you know, can say no. They can turn away anyone. They don't have to allow anyone in if they don't want to. Okay. But I think you're right. I think the police maybe do organize it with them, and they probably, for their own good, agree. I mean, because probably if you said no and you were Republican, you might have some troubles, huh?
Yes. So, folks, you know, if I guess if you own a pub or something like that, it's really, you know, I mean, the police do help out for some of these pubs because they, you know, alcohol fuels very violent fuels violence in individuals. Yeah. And so, you know, the cops do help out in some times. But the randomness of going around with dogs, smelling, you know, casting a net over everybody, making everybody in the place fear. You know, some people have got a full-on paranoia of dogs.
Yeah.
Some people have been bitten as a child and have a real angst over dogs.
Don't you think it's ironic, this use of dogs, after what we've heard about what was done at Abu Ghraib? And Guantanamo as well. I mean, dogs were used deliberately as part of a psychological operation to humiliate prisoners, because Arabic and Muslim people cannot touch a dog. Many of them cannot touch, you know what I'm saying? It's actually, now, there are a lot of Muslims in our society, and I really don't know what happens if one of these policemen comes near such a person. I mean, I guess, luckily, most Muslims don't go to pubs, you know. But I imagine there could be some serious problems there.
Because, well, you know, I mean, it's just a basic human right to not be cast a net. It's the presumption of innocence. Before proven guilty. It's all of these things. It's the Magna Carta. I mean, there's so many violations that this breaches. So many, just even if there isn't some sort of, you know, legal violation, it's just common sense you shouldn't have 6-7 cops walking into a beer garden with dogs sniffing everyone. I mean, it's just wrong.
Even without dogs, it's still wrong. Even if they were just going into pubs searching people or, you know, interrogating people, that would be equally wrong. It just, the whole concept of it is wrong because it goes against, as you said, the basic principle of, you know, freedom, that we are free citizens. And that is tyranny, okay? It's that simple, okay? That is tyranny. That's what the Nazi, that's what the SS used to do, okay, in Nazi Germany.
No, that's right. And look, this Mr. Christian Bolwell.
Yes.
He got it hard. I mean, he basically just offered a business card to the person getting searched.
Yes.
Just as, you know, to say, hey, you know, I'm a lawyer. Give me a call if you get into trouble, because he's also on the he's also a civil libertarian.
Yes, he is.
And you know, he
won his case, by the way.
Sorry?
He won the case. Like, he was charged, but he has been completely exonerated. However, he hasn't been awarded any damages. He'll now have to go into the civil court. And it could take years. I mean, he's now got to try and get damages because he was assaulted. And they pointed out in the story that it's unusual that he didn't have to pay his own costs, which I found unusual in itself, that he would be expected to pay his own costs considering he was exonerated. But they said it was quite unusual that apparently even when people are exonerated, they still have to pay their own costs. When they've been falsely charged, they still have to pay their own costs. That's quite common. No wonder most people don't contest the charge. Hello?
I mean, he was awarded the costs of the legal case, which is very uncommon, apparently.
Very uncommon. And he's a lawyer, you see. But, you know, the average person, and you're faced with a choice. Well, what would you do? Imagine this. You can fight this case. You might win it. But even if you win it, you still have to pay your legal costs, which could be thousands and thousands of dollars, right? Mm. Or you could lose, and then you have to pay your legal costs and probably the government's legal costs, and you go to prison.
Nice. It's a great system.
Or you can just, you know, take the rap and pay the fine and just be a good docile citizen of our great democracy, and stop challenging people, stop challenging authority, stop standing up for yourself, and just bend over, okay, and take it. Okay, that's the choice. That's the choice people are offered. It's a stark choice.
And so, folks. What's Herod? What's next? What's next?
Alrighty. Okay, we're still on Australian stories tonight. Okay, now let's just move to something ridiculous. Not quite as dark, but equally ridiculous. There's a new campaign in Australia. Whoop-de-doo. Okay, for climate change, and we really, you know, want to keep our audience informed because we know how important you all think it is, okay? We know that you're all really concerned about your footprints, okay? So, 1millionwomen.com, okay, all the girls out there, I can just feel you, you know, waking up and just, you know, pricking your ears up, okay? This is a special new campaign just for you, okay? A campaign for women. A new climate change brainwashing initiative. Oops, I didn't mean to say that. A new climate change initiative directed at Australian women. 1 million women, a campaign of daughters, mothers, sisters and grandmothers committed to protecting our climate, our communities and our future, and leading change for the better. Our goal is to inspire 1 million Australian women to take practical action on climate change by cutting 1 million tons of carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse pollutant causing global warming.
Well, folks,
forget about the methane.
First of all, forget about, you know,
forget about the water vapor.
The water vapor. Forget about, you know, that 96% of greenhouse gases is water vapor.
Yeah, forget about that quickly. Just forget it. Yes.
Better not. You know, put your kettle on, because that could cause some global warming.
Now, if you're Australian,
but don't worry about it. It's actually climate change. It's not warming.
Yes. So that way we can go either way. We've got to bet either way.
Yeah.
Now,
if you're a new listener,
yes.
There is a lot. I mean, there's about three times as many scientists or more. Than the IPCC, the International Panel for, what the hell does it stand for? The International
Panel for Climate Change or something like that.
Climate Change or something. You know, there's about three or four times as many scientists against the IPCC's theories. So this whole consensus thing is such a lie. And even the IPCC is, you know, a lot of the scientists on that have sort of the white papers that group have come out with. A lot of the scientists disagree with it that have signatures on it, yes. But purely because they read the thing or contributed to it, their signatures are on it. It just goes on and on.
Now, if you're an Australian woman and you join this wonderful new organisation, you will be guided through ways to cut your one ton and to track your progress as you go along. You don't have to be an expert on climate change. Just join up and we'll guide you every step of the way. Okay, so you know what this is? You know this, okay, you join the program and then they monitor you. It's kind of like joining one of those weight loss programs, you know. It's like Jenny Craig or something, you know. It's like... But is this
counting your calories? You're counting your carbon credits.
It's going to be exactly like that. I mean, it's absurd, okay? But it's conditioning again. I mean,
yeah, folks, let's forget about, you know, forget about the DU fallout. Forget about carbon monoxide. Forget about mass global poisoning. Forget about oil spills. Forget about plastic bag belts around Hawaii. Forget about all of that. Just focus on climate change. Even though the science is so vague, and basically the answer to climate change is not let's have a look at these amazing alternative energies like what's it called now? Geothermal power, you know.
Yes.
I mean, geothermal itself is so amazing. Let's not even get into the crazy, you know, zero point stuff. Let's just look at geothermal, which we can do right now. Just basically dig a hole, really deep hole in the ground, have a U-bend down the bottom of it, and have another hole coming back up. Pour water down the thing and have steam shooting up so fast that it can turn turbines just incredibly. And this for years and years without any pollution. Now I understand that there's massive pollution, that there's big green issues, but this whole thing of climate change and the answers are so false and fake and disgusting, because it's basically the answer is, oh, we better stop using power. We better stop using electricity. We better stop using our cars. I mean, what do you want us to go back to a caveman? Do you want us to start having, you know, these things, these initiatives like Earth Hour? I mean, it's total false economy. So they tell you to turn off all your lights. So what do people do? Buy all these candles. You know, candles use up a lot more, you know, carbon, if that's what they, you know, and plus driving to get these things. So a lot of people go driving, and they go drive out to the cinema or something like that for Earth Hour, or so all that carbon comes up, or they, you know, it's all this false scare tactic stuff. And honestly, carbon is the building blocks of life, folks. Carbon is not a pollutant. Carbon is not poisonous. It is a total normal gas. Carbon monoxide is a poison.
Oh, come on, Josh. Come on. You know, carbon dioxide is a terrible, terrible poison, okay? Look, Al Gore told me so, okay?
Yeah, because he's got massive, you know, self-interest. He's got total conflict of interest with being one of the biggest CEOs of the biggest carbon trading scheme companies in the world.
He's also got massive...
Carbon trading is such a fraud, folks. And you've got to understand, go and research it, please, before you keep on talking and you know, a lot of these people, I mean, I was a believer of global warming because I got told it all the way through school as well, until I just did the I just decided to turn off my cognitive dissonance, which means when a cognitive dissonance is when you told something for so long, or you've had an interest in something that long and put a lot of effort and energy and investment into it, that you don't want to hear anything else because you are not wrong. You don't want to put at risk all the work you've done. You know, that's cognitive dissonance. And so you don't want to it's really important to shut down your cognitive dissonance and look at the other side of the evidence and see what the answers are. And why is it so popular? Why is it being pushed from everywhere? Because there's big money from big oil interests. Oil interests like carbon trading. They love it. Because it's massive tax breaks. It's a huge tax break. Basically, the taxpayer is paying for the carbon credits, which is basically a new derivatives bubble. It's a new thing to trade. And the second thing is, if you set up a trading scheme, you're pretty much guaranteeing that it's never going to go away. Because if carbon disappears, there's nothing to trade. So
but
you
Josh,
build up a big marketplace. I mean, it just goes, sorry for ranting, but it just goes on and on. And I just want to... for new listeners, really make them understand where we come from, that we don't just laugh at climate change because we're crazy and we want to be controversial. There is hard facts and thousands of scientists and geoscientists and also climate scientists all saying the science is totally flawed.
But Josh, these draconian measures, you know, even if they're wrong, even if they're based on incorrect science, they're good, aren't they? Because they're going to stop us polluting, because they're going to make us better people. You know, measures, that, and even if it's all wrong, okay, this is what I've been told recently, several times. In fact, I was told it today, and I was told it 3 days ago. In fact, virtually every time I bring this up with someone who hasn't been educated or re-educated, I get the same response. They say, oh, well, but it doesn't matter if it's wrong. I've been told that many, many times. How do you respond to that?
Well, look, the answer is a global tax. This is the most hardcore infrastructural change to society in the history of man. This is a global policed tax that we will be given on our breathing, because that's what we breathe out, is carbon dioxide, folks.
We are part of the problem then, aren't we?
Well, look, folks...
Maybe we should just kill ourselves.
A big fan, Harrowood, of alternative energy. I've been obsessed with alternative energy since a child.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of studies on it. And through just when I was waking up, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, well, you know, it's kind of good, all this, even though it's a lie, it's kind of good because it's getting alternative energy on the scene and all this. But that is bull. I don't want lies. You know, I don't want alternative energy to be brought forward because of lies. You know, why shouldn't we have... I don't want to breathe in car fumes. I don't want to live in a city and get cancer from breathing in monoxide poison. I mean,
no.
I would rather they have... I mean, we shouldn't be using less electricity. We should be using more, folks. We should be using more. We should be so technologically advanced. We should be utilizing everything, but we shouldn't be using it with fossil fuels because it's so old and crap. We've been using fossil fuels. I mean, it's like we'd still be going around in steam engines. It's pathetic. We should be using electricity, and we should be using geothermal power, and everything in our, you know, I mean.
Yes, but Josh, the Church of Environmentalism wants you to reduce your carbon footprint. And more than that, they want you to reduce your presence, your
they want you to die.
They want you to shrink down and just disappear because you are the world would be just so much better without you. Okay? That's what it comes down to. And that's what the Church of Environmentalism, that's its great religion, its gospel, is that we are bad and we must be exterminated.
Look, and there is a lot of bad stuff going on environmentally. I mean, some shocking stuff. There is definitely global poisoning. I don't doubt that. You know, we are really with the, and you know who's the biggest cause of it? Is government and military. They are the biggest polluters in the world, and hardcore polluters. The other pollution is, you know, genetic pollution. You know, with these genetically modified crops, Monsanto and such. I mean, this is such a vast pollution. That, I mean, pollution, folks, when you, even if you have an oil slick, the earth, even if it takes thousands of years, it heals itself. Genetic pollution doesn't. It just grows. It grows and it takes over everything. Genetic pollution is what everyone should be taxing. But no, we've got to tax life itself. We've got to tax, you know, the way we live, the clean way we live, the fact that we can just turn a light switch on and have light instead of burning a fire and breathing in coal from the fire and dying of some sort of lung disease like they do in third world countries. You know, this is the sort of talk that they want. They want us to digress backwards instead of going forwards. And it's and not only go backwards, not only do they want us to cut down on everything, but they want to tax us on everything. I mean, folks, it is sick. That's all I've got to say. Sorry, I get really... I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I can't believe we're in this situation. It's like some sort of la-la land.
It is. It is. It's like... I don't know. It's kind of like being suddenly put into the script of a zombie movie or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was a member of the Greens. I liked a lot of what the Greens do. You know, I'm not some sort of right-wing fascist... Yeah, you know, anti-environmental guy. You know, I just think I know that this global warming thing is all one big farce, and it's been pushed and pushed and pushed purely for a carbon tax.
Why aren't they focusing on things like heavy metals? Why aren't they talking about mercury? Why are we getting more mercury? Everywhere you look, stuff has mercury in it these days. Have you noticed that? I mean, why did they introduce these compact fluorescent bulbs so aggressively when they're all full of mercury? Did anyone think about that? And we can't even buy the old bulbs anymore. And, you know, from all that I've heard in the last couple of years about mercury, I'm getting really concerned about these bulbs. And I think we need to do a story on it. You just reminded me of this. I really want to investigate the compact fluorescent bulbs. Okay, for this very reason. Look,
it's, you know, these bulbs, a lot of people say to me, oh, but they're so environmentally friendly, the carbon footprint, so less, it uses up 10 times less power. Yeah, all right. It actually uses 6 times less power or something of such point, and it's 10 times more poisonous for the planet.
Yeah, I mean, what happens when they go into garbage dumps? What's going to happen when millions upon millions of these bulbs get ploughed into landfill?
I mean, these bulbs are absolutely toxic for the earth. They are and not only that, they're toxic if you're going to go into the more esoteric side of, you know, you'll talk to a lot of people about your aura, and they destroy your aura. They destroy, because let's forget about the aura stuff. But
interesting.
A light bulb turns on, and it's on. It's light that's on. Fluorescence flicker at a refresh rate so high that you don't see it, so it looks like it's permanent light, but it's like you blinking at 1,000 times a second. You're going to get a headache, folks. It's not good for you.
Right, right.
You know, it's not good for you to be under fluorescent lights.
Well, we're all under fluorescence permanently now.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully LED will pursue through, because LED is, you know, is a nice light. It's permanently on.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the LED is really a beautiful technology, and you know, everyone should be getting LED lights instead of fluorescents. It's just so much better.
Well, I think I might put that on my list of to-do for the next month.
And they last for ages. They're very they use up bugger all electricity,
is that
which
right?
is always good.
Where can we buy them in Sydney, Josh?
Oh, any light store.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And you can jump on the internet as well. In fact, I went to the home show. To domestic bliss.
Right, right.
And wandered about, and there was a one lighting store there, and they had some amazing LED stuff. Really amazing stuff. Beautiful lights.
Well, there's something positive at last. We've got to a positive note. You know what? I think I'm going to go out this weekend and restock. I'm gonna change my whole lighting system in my home.
Yeah, good.
Because
one.
I've had it with these compact fluoros.
Mm. No, they're awful.
It's over.
I mean, they're really bad for you. They just are bad for you.
Yeah, well, I'm worried about when they're on. I mean, you know, so I've looked at them sometimes, and you can see sort of what looks like fumes coming out of them or something. I don't know. It could be just the temperature difference or whatever, but it looks like they're emitting something. I don't know.
Look, fluorescent tubes are poisonous.
Yeah.
Poisonous
yeah.
for the planet.
Yeah.
They're not good, folks. Just get over saying how good they are.
Yeah.
Just stop it. It just makes me sick.
Yeah, get over yourself.
And that's not to our good listeners. Our good listeners know all this stuff, I'm sure.
Okay, our last Australian story for the day. An intriguing one. And I'm not sure how much this is just a bit of a puff piece, actually. But it was published in The National, and I'm not even sure what that is. But Thursday, May 21, and the headline is Australia to Filter Internet Content. It says here, Australia is pushing ahead with plans to introduce one of the world's most strict internet filtering regimes to protect the community from websites that promote child pornography, the politics of hate, and terrorism. The proposed system, nicknamed the Great Firewall of Australia, ran into technical problems during its trials and has provoked howls of protest from civil libertarians who say it is a brazen attack on free speech. Authorities in Canberra, however, remain undeterred. Restricting access to obscene and dangerous online material has been a decade-long objective of both the present left-of-centre government and its conservative predecessor. Anyway, this... this story...
Oh, you know, sorry.
Yes. And I continue, yes.
Yeah, I laugh at, you know, none of the article has got it right. None of it.
Mm.
It's not A, to protect you from child pornography. I mean, I've been, you know, through the darkest areas of the net looking for, you know, some, you know, a crack piece of software that I needed or some film. Mm. You know, you go to these, you know, you just stumble across this. I've never come across child porn.
Never,
thank God.
Neither have I.
You
I've
know,
never
thank
seen
God.
A... I've never seen a pop-up or some, you know, no, nothing.
Never. I mean, it's absurd to say that, you know, to protect you from, you know, accidentally. I mean, it's just silly. Now, the other thing is, civil libertarians, it's not even a thing of freedom of speech. I mean, it is, of course. But the main thing, and that is an issue, the freedom of speech, absolutely, because they can just shut you down.
Yes.
But the main thing is that they're just going to just basically what this is one big massive hub to basically listen to any bit of internet traffic. And that's what it is. That's truly what it is. It's a spy infrastructure. And the spying infrastructure takes a lot of money, and they can't just get this money from some little from taxpayers' money easily. You know, they have to put a guise of protecting us from the pornography of children and this sort of, you know, stuff, which is total false claim. If they really cared about the children, they would go after these sick photographers. But instead, they go after you, folks. They go after your information. They go after spying on everybody.
Yes,
and that's
well,
a dangerous world.
Well, you know, and But there's been such problems with this scheme, and you know, from what I had been hearing, and I've talked to a few people about it who would perhaps know, and the consensus seems to be that, you know, it's completely fallen flat, and yet this article seems to suggest that it's that the government is undeterred. Although if you read right through, it reads like a bit of a puff piece. It doesn't really have any new news in it. It's like they've just rehashed the story, and they found a couple professors to speak to, and you know, it's just this kind of relentless need to make news of things that aren't even news. But behind that, it's like there's an agenda there to keep the belief alive that the government is doing this. And from everything I've heard, they've had such resistance to it and such lack of cooperation from the industry that it seems unlikely that it's ever going to get up in the current, you know, at least in the next year or two.
It will get up, Harold, if people don't, if people lower their guard. It's really important that the whole industry keeps fighting this, that people keep fighting this. Whenever there's a sniff of this, they should contact their representatives and be absolutely fuming. I mean, I've sent countless letters to my local representatives, and that's what it's all about, folks. It's local, because local passes up and up and up, and then you part, and then they pass the buck and say, "Oh, that's the, you know, the Minister for Information's got to have that," and, yes, and all this. So you just send a letter to them. You just copy the letter and just send it. You know, when you get one back, you know what the best thing to do, folks, is when you get a reply letter, is then to send another letter. Because the reply letter is always just some fast food letter that gets spat out back at you, an auto response.
Yeah, they just eject that straight back at you. They just bounce it back, you know, like whack the ball back. And you've got to hit it back again quickly.
Absolutely, because that's when they have to read it real for real.
And apparently, so I've been told, snail mail is the way to go. They will read snail mail. And for some reason, through some, whatever it is, some idiotic, arcane, you know, workings of the bureaucrat's brain, they feel they have to respond to something that's written on paper. Don't you find that a bit odd? I mean, what's really the difference between an email and a written paper? I mean, it's just words. But for some reason, they will respond to things that are printed on, you know, trees that have been shredded. They like that, yeah.
Yeah, they love that. Yeah, yeah. The government's war on trees.
And look, while we're on this internet subject, I really must bring up the topic of the French Hadopi bill, which, you know, I think we may be the only internet media news portal talking about this, okay? It's a massive story, folks. The French have brought in this absolutely draconian system through their parliament. It's gone through two levels. It's gone through the parliament and it's gone through the Senate, okay? But there's a whole lot of bizarre things about this story, the most bizarre being that it's being falsely reported that the actress Catherine Deneuve, who is a very celebrated member of the elite of French cinema, was behind this. And it's completely the opposite, folks. And it was reported on 9MSN. I'll read the story that was printed in 9MSN on Wednesday, May 13. It says here, Catherine Deneuve was involved in a petition backing France's successful internet piracy bill. French politicians on Tuesday adopted a tough bill to combat internet piracy by cutting off the web to illegal downloaders after one of the sharpest debates of Nicolas Sarkozy's presidency. The National Assembly, dominated by Sarkozy's right-wing party, passed the bill by a vote of 296 to 233, and the measure was set up to go before the Senate for final approval on Wednesday. The legislation, described as one of the toughest ever drafted against internet piracy around the world, would punish those who pirate music and film by shutting down their internet access for up to a year. Well, what do
That's
you know?
Lovely.
What do you know? They're just going to basically, and of course, you know, there won't be any kind of right of reply. I mean, it's just going to happen. It's not as if you could go and have it, you know, there's not going to be any oversight by a judge or anything. They're just going to cut you off. This is corporatism, ladies and gentlemen. This is business taking over the role of government and taking over punitive roles. They're just basically going to cut you off. Because they think, but how are they going to know? What are they going to base that decision on?
Because they spy on you.
But I'm just going to be downloading some file from BitTorrent. How do they know what's even in that file? How can they know I've stolen anything? How can they possibly know?
Even if they know, it's just sick. It's sick. But let's just get back to the core of this story, folks and Herald, is that 9MSN lied in their story. They said that this actress, this very celebrated actress, was for the bill. When in fact she was absolutely against it. And
now I did submit a report to Media Watch, to ABC Media Watch about this. I had an automated reply, but I haven't had a follow up reply. I'm a bit disappointed.
We're going to post the link in the show notes. I would encourage all of our listeners to send the same links to Media Watch. Outraged.
Yes.
You know. Because this is false. This is the media again falsifying things to make you conditioned into thinking that it's a good thing. Oh, these big actresses, yeah, they think it's a good thing, and you know that the government and the corporate fascist dictatorship can sort of, well, it's not, you know, technically a dictatorship, but this.
Oh no, I think it was perfect. I think what you said was absolutely perfect.
You know, this corporatist,
the corporate fascist dictatorship.
Yeah, can spy on you and then deem you inappropriate for internet. So we shall cut him off. You know, I mean, I think the trouble with this is also they're going to cut you off probably from your phone, from the internet, from life, because the internet is life nowadays. If you're not on the internet, you're nothing.
But I mean, we know
you can't socialize. You can't, you know.
And we know there's going to be all kinds of innocent people caught up in this, all kinds of false positives that'll come up. And how are they going to supervise me? What are they going to do? Are they going to tag me? I mean, what if I go down the road to my friend's house?
Then you go to a rape room called a jail. You know, if they catch you. You know, that's how sick this government is. They will, or governments in general, not this, you know, any government, you know, that's too big for their boots. They'll do this. They'll arrest you for the good of, you know, all people, but then they'll throw you in jail where you get raped. I mean, it's so demented, folks. It's violence. It is. Anyone opposed to violence should be opposed to big government, because big government, all they are about, I mean, the threat of jail is so sick when it comes to non-violent things like downloading a movie.
But can I play devil's advocate for a moment, right?
Sure. And
I want to say to you this, right? Oh, but Josh, you know, and I've got to get the right facial expression, because this is from real life. I just want to like give you this, okay?
Really, get into the part.
Get into character, because there's a particular body language and facial expression that goes with this. But like, oh, but Josh, don't we have to do something about the artists whose work is being, you know, pirated? And you know, I mean, shouldn't we be protecting them? Because, you know, what about the filmmakers, you know, who've made videos and people are downloading them? And what are, you know, the artists and their intellectual property? Don't you care about that, Josh?
Well, hang on. Let's look
aren't
at
you
Google,
help?
YouTube. You know, there's millions of artists there not get paid a cent for any of their stuff. You know, you've got plenty of entertainment. There are so many different business models, and this is what free market is all about, not protectionist, you know, fascist markets that are protected by the protection of government violence. A free market is a market that's allowed to thrive. And when people can circumvent that and get something for free, that market has to change. That market shouldn't be tied down with guns, with violence by the government.
So you mean we don't need jackbooted thugs to enforce the rights of our struggling,
What needs
artists.
To happen is the business model needs to change. You know, they need to start putting, more product placement. I don't know. I'm not, a million different entrepreneurs thinking of how to make, a good market in this brave new world of the internet and people being able to copy data so easily. I mean, people just need to get clever. But instead, these old businesses and business models who, and let's face it, folks, a lot of this stuff is also on suppressing the internet and radio shows like this or any sort of alternative media, because the elite have always had a power hold on the news since the invention of the printing press. And
correct.
And this is just another way of controlling this amazing freedom that we have. I mean, just the technology, if we wanted to even 20 years ago get on the radio and have a worldwide broadcast, it would have cost us, $500,000 to set up, plus a mega team. So, $2, $3, $5, $6 million to set up, because you'd need, infrastructure and people in place to then broadcast and then get syndicated. Nowadays, we go to Radio Shack or Dick Smith or wherever and buy a couple of mics and record this show and stick it on a podcast. I mean, it is amazing, and citizen journalism is very, very frightening to the elite, and that is the reason why they're clenching down on the internet and putting it under the guise of child pornography, under the guise of protecting movie industries, and the movie industry is going to put a lot of money behind it as well.
Or even worse, even in a more sick way, protecting the poor struggling artist.
Yeah. Yeah, let's have a look at the poor struggling artist. Who's really taken advantage of artists over the years? It's been the record industry. The record industry is so disgustingly, they really suck the life out of artists. I mean, let's have a look at the amount of artists that get pumped out and become mainstream. There's maybe a handful each year. That really make a good amount of money, like a solid cup, 3, 4, 5 million, $16 million.
Yeah.
A good amount. The rest of them, they do nothing. Artists get paid so little. And even the ones that make big money are usually, most of it goes to the record companies. My brother had a record label and he basically got told, well, you have to sell, 300,000 records, and for the first 200,000 you get a cent per record sold, and after that you get 2.5 cent, and that's for the whole band.
Yeah
I mean, it's such a pathetic amount of money. It's literally pathetic, and they pay them maybe per show that they do, but most of their money was from doing live gigs. And that's where it goes back to. Ever since the days of Napster, a lot of musicians have had to gig again, had to actually go around and perform.
Yeah.
Because that's when they could get real money again,
Oh, and guess what? That's what brings joy to people's lives. Being able to go out and listen to some good quality live music. Not some death metal, horribly overly amplified in a pub full of thugs. I don't necessarily mean that. Or if that's what people want to do,
fine. Some people find that very enjoyable.
That's fine too. But but it doesn't just have to be that. You know what I mean? It can be because that's what happens, right? In the current very unfair system, is that you can't. You can only go out to listen to music in certain places. It's very, very limited. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just go down the road to your local and have a nice night out. There's
no, because you're
going to
get your crutch sniffed by a sniffer dog.
Yeah. And you've got a lot of pubs that just don't ever have live music, but they have trivia nights, or they have bingo. You go to a pub and there's some idiot walking around shouting out bingo numbers. I mean, is that what you want? Is that what you call a nice night out? Having some idiot with a microphone yelling out bingo numbers? And nothing against people who want bingo, but if I go to a night spot, that's not a place for bingo. You know, I mean, that would have been understood a few years ago. You know, before we just sort of, our culture just degenerated into this just slops, you know. I mean, there are places where you can go. If you're into bingo, there are places where you can go for bingo, okay? Always have been, always will be. You know,
I love Legs 11 and Keep Up Ladies. It's great. Now, folks, if you want to leave some comments, leave them on the truthnews.com.au on the show notes. Check them out. And like we said, go and send letters like crazy. You know, really get back to that visceral pissed offness about something and write in to your representatives and get some change happening and educate yourself, educate others around you. It's so important.
Look, it's been a mega show tonight. We've gone well over the two-hour mark. What more can I say? I mean, we've got a titanic job, you know, in trying to cover this, and we've only covered a few stories tonight. We've really only just scratched, just gnawed at the edges.
Oh, like Alex Jones once said, it's like, honestly, like you're in a, you know, in a life raft, and you've got the whole Pacific Ocean pouring in, and you've got a thimble to empty this thing out, and you're just going, there's just so much information, so much tyranny, and so much coming on the horizon. It's really important that people become vigilant about the concept of freedom, about the concept of love and compassion. You know, bringing back compassion into your life, feeling for these people that are getting falsely arrested in Guantanamo Bay and getting tortured. And realizing that will be your children's future if you don't put a stop to it now, if you don't stand up for it now. You know, you've got these amazing tools like Facebook and these massive ways that you can just so easily, without much effort at all, just spread information and educate people. It's really not hard.
So true, so true. Well, look, I don't think I can top that. I'm gonna switch off the broadcasting equipment.
Switching off. Yeah. All right, folks. Until next week. Good night.